Just because it's the same story, you know, over and over and over again, and we talk about the angels, right? And we talk about the announcement, and we talk about the shepherds, and we talk about the prophecies, and we talk about King Herod and wanting to kill Jesus, and we go through all of that over and over and over again, and they're good stories. I mean, they're obviously stories for us to look at and know what happened and how it all panned out. But what I have been challenged with, even in just last few months, is that these stories are not just there for us to gain knowledge and to feel good and warm and fuzzy as we look at a Christmas tree. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're listening to all these sweet Christmas songs, and we get all crazy about the season and the holidays and decorating and gift shopping and all that stuff. It's like, what does this story mean to me? Like, and so last week it was like the hope that Jesus brings. And we were going to talk about, you know, those verses and what does that mean. And the scripture in Isaiah, when it says, the scripture was basically about, it says, that those people that walked in darkness, that were walking in darkness, have seen a great light. Those people that lived in brokenness, a light has shined upon them, and now there is hope. But, you know, the trick here is you need to be, you and I both need to be aware that we are walking in darkness. Because otherwise we're not going to, if we don't know, if we don't sense, if we don't feel the darkness around us, we're not going to know we need light. We're not going to know, and we're not going to feel this desperate place in our lives where we are in darkness, where we're stumbling around in every situation. I mean, we go back and forth, and we're trying to figure things out for our lives, and we bump against something. And we're like those little cars, you know. I don't know if they sell them anymore, but you put a battery in them and they start going, and as soon as they bump somewhere, they just kind of turn around and they go somewhere else, right? And bump, they bump again and they turn around and go somewhere else. That is kind of how we, the people that live in darkness, that's kind of how their lives are. So the challenge for all of us is like, are you and I like that little car? Do we just kind of wake up in the morning and we're like, okay, you know, we don't even realize that there's this cloud that is around us of lies and deceit and temptation to draw us away from God, from His knowledge, from His presence. And so you all of a sudden wake up in the morning and you start going and you find a bump and bump it and you're like, oops, not this way, boop, not this way. And you just kind of go and go. And by the end of the day, you are bruised and battered and tired and disappointed and hopeless. And you're like, man, nothing seems to go right. When am I going to get a break? But we're not aware that it is because we're blind. We're not aware because we have gotten so used to the darkness that we live under, that it just feels normal. Again, this week I had a couple conversations with some teenagers, and one of those conversations was the idea that why is it that people continue on this cycle that is hurtful, that is wrong, that it's bringing them down all the time, but they don't see how it's hurting them. But whenever they're shown maybe a different way, it's scary to them because all they know is this cycle. This is what's comfortable. This is what's normal. This is what they know. It's the rut that they're in. And so even to think about walking away from that and starting something new, the unknown is scary. And they're not willing sometimes to let go of that which, even though it's hurting them and it's dark and it's death, there's death in there and it's twisted and just heavy. they rather just stay there. Because the other alternative, it's too dangerous or too unknown. And they're afraid and fear grips them. And you know, when we sing songs like, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I tell you what, I experience that every day. The fact that I'm standing here does not mean that I don't have to face that every single day of my life. Fear wants to come and grip my heart about everything, about all kinds of things. But God has said that a light has come to shine in my darkness so that I no longer have to be blind and I no longer have to bump my head and my face against so many things, but I can actually have something that guides me, something that leads me, something that gives me hope and peace. And this is the slide for last week, but you see how everything around is dark, but light is meant to light up a room. It is meant to light up a way that you didn't see it was there. Light was meant to, when you are in a room that is dark and you can't see the objects around you and you're stumbling around, when the light comes on, then all of a sudden things start making sense. And you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's, I shouldn't walk through that. And I shouldn't, well, here's the path and here's the way to go. And I can go around this and I can go around that. Because now you are able to see. And that is what Jesus came for in that message. Which I'm not going to preach, that one. We're talking about the peace that Jesus brings. But it kind of goes hand in hand with that. And the verses are these, right? Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. But before those verses, there are these right here, 3 to 5, and it says, after it says, and a light has shined, and the people that lived in darkness have seen a great light. It says, you have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing the spoils. For you have shattered, and let's just look at these words. You have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. And Midian is a reference to Gideon, the story of Gideon back in the Bible when the army of Midian was encamped against them, and it was, I mean, tens of thousands, and Gideon came against them with 300. And God gave him a huge, huge victory. So that's what it's referring, like, and the shoulder of the staff of the oppressor is like, just as you did on the day of Midian, you rescued them. For every trampling boot of battle and the bloody garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. It's important that we read this, because it's telling you what he has accomplished or what he is wanting to accomplish in our lives. And that is victory, freedom. Do we even know what that feels like? Do we even feel like we are shackled or enslaved? Do we even feel that we are under some kind of oppressive yoke? Or that the rod of, you know, our masters are on our shoulders and the staff of our oppressors are hitting us every single day. I mean, do we even know? Do we even feel that? Like every day, there are people that are being hit and battered and oppressed. And yet they I don't know if they even know that. Or if they just gave up and they just think that's just normal. But this is what Jesus coming to earth is supposed to accomplish. To free us from those oppressing things, from that darkness. There's rejoicing at what God was about to do, And the example of what the rejoicing feels like is expressed in verse 3. And then it says, express what the source of the joy and excitement, shattering of the oppressing yoke, no longer slaves. Which, wouldn't that be good news? I mean, if you were a slave, wouldn't it be amazing news if all of a sudden you were told, you're no longer a slave, you're free to go. But you know what? We've even seen movies before where these people don't even know what to do after they're freed. I mean, have you seen movies like that where all of a sudden, you know, they've been slaves for such a long time and all they know is to just to bow down, to humble, to expect punishment, to expect hunger and thirst, and to expect, you know, a horrible way of living. And that's all they know. And so when all of a sudden you're like, okay, here, you're free to go. They're just kind of standing there like, I don't know how to be free. Isn't that crazy? We are so used to these things that when Jesus comes and says, here it is, the jail door is open. Go, walk out, be free. And we're looking at that door. We're standing at that door and we're like, but I don't know. Where do I go? What do I do? Do I have a curfew? Do I need to, you know, what time do I need to get up? You know, all these things like, am I free to go to the store? Am I free to go over here? Am I free to go? You don't know what to do because you're not used to it. But that is what God has accomplished. I mean, no longer slaves. You can rejoice. You can walk out of there going like, woohoo! Yeah! Like excited and rejoicing and hallelujah and praise God. And oh, you can tell everybody, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I don't have shackles in my hands and in my feet. Look at that. I'm not tied to this dungeon that is dark and cold. I no longer have to deal with these things anymore. Now I get to go and discover what freedom is. That's what Jesus has done for us. But so many of us, we still don't live there. We still live shackled and enslaved. Even though the door is open, we're still bound to sin and death and all these other things that mess us and don't let us grow and that keep us down. Because Satan is right there going like, yeah, you think you're free. No, you're not. No, you're not. And so it says, deliver us from the enemy, says in media, and the displaced and remains of the battle will be done away with, burn and erase. And it says there that they'll rejoice like if when they're dividing the spoil. And dividing the spoil was, can you imagine? I mean, you go in after a battle and you get all the treasures, you know? Who would not be happy? Especially if you didn't have to fight for it, right? If God has fought that battle for you, and then he goes, all right, now go ahead and enjoy the spoils, right? You get to go in there and gather all the treasures and all the blessings and all the, which is what he offers you. He's just telling you, the door is open. I've won the battle for you. Sin is no longer a problem. Death is no longer a problem. I overcame Satan and I rose from the dead. So now I'm giving you free life. Look at this table that I have set up for you with all these blessings and all these joys and all these freedoms. Now go and feast. And so many of us just kind of stand at the table and we're like, freedom, huh? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. And we just kind of, we don't take it. Like every morning, God says that he gives us victory. Every morning, he tells us that he's our strong tower and our refuge. Every morning, he tells us that we're no longer slaves to fear. Every morning he tells us that we're children of the living God. Every morning he tells us that we have overcome the enemy in faith. Every morning he tells us that the enemy is no longer a problem for our lives because he has been crushed and he has been defeated. Every day he tells us that we don't have to sin anymore. You know, we always argue this whole idea of the tolerance in the world and how Jesus should love everybody. We should love everybody. We do. But then they always bring up the idea of the woman caught in adultery and how Jesus said that no one condemn you. And Jesus, and the woman said, well, no, nobody judged me. Nobody condemned me. And Jesus said, well, neither do I. But they stopped there. Like, well, see, Jesus didn't condemn her. But yeah, but he did say something to her At the end, he just says, now just go and don't live that lifestyle anymore. That's what brought you to this place in the first place. So now go and sin no more. I don't judge you. I don't condemn you. But I am letting you know that the lifestyle that you were living was what brought you here. So if you want to truly be free and not judge and not condemn, then don't live that lifestyle anymore and walk away with the freedom that I'm giving you through my non-judgment, through my love. Allow that love to make you not want to sin anymore. Walk away free. And so these are the things that Jesus is trying to tell us as we read the prophecies and as we read the scriptures of his coming. It's not just a cute story of a baby in the manger so that we set up our nativity scene and all that stuff. So much more than that. His hope is one for abundant life for us, for victory, for freedom and peace. You know, and his heart aches when we don't believe this and live it out and apply it in our lives. You know, faith is more than just a system of beliefs. Okay? Saying we believe is not enough. Now, practicing and following a set of rules is not enough either. I have said it before because it says it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says this very clear. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is literally impossible because God wants you to believe what he says by making it your own, by applying it, by activating it, by letting it engage your heart and my heart. Seriously, I mean, going to church, growing up in church, being a good person, and all of that stuff, yeah, I mean, there's something good to it. But when you're faced with a situation in life, a storm of life, or anything like that, where you have, that happened to me this week again, just situations where I had to realize, man, God, you're the only one who can take care of this, and I need to trust and let it go, and it's not easy because you want to feel in control of a lot of things, and to release that and let it go, and to say, okay, God, you are my strong tower, you are in control of these things, you are in control of these situations, and I'm gonna back off and let it go. Even though everything inside of me wants to get my hands in there. That to me is practicing that he is a faithful father. That he is a strong tower. That he is a miracle worker and a miracle maker and a promise keeper. And the light in the darkness. That's what I want to live out in my life every day. So here it's just all of these things, the fulfillment, the coming of Christ, the birth of Jesus, the cute story. Everything about this season is about freedom. It's about reconciliation, about victory and new life. Salvation from death, from slavery, from darkness and sin. And then acceptance and adoption into a new life, a new family, and a new way of living. It's about embracing and activating and living in these promises of God that provide the answers, the victory way, the freedom, and the relief from all the challenges, trials, and struggles that we face every day. That is where we'll actually find peace. The slide that you look at the background is just basically the boat in the storm, and then the disciples are freaking out. And Jesus is sleeping. And again, that's a cute story, right, that we can tell in Sunday school and all that stuff. But what does it really mean? It means that the disciples are in the middle of a dangerous, life-threatening situation. Which in your case today might be your teenager acting up. Or your little child acting up. Or losing your job. Or being accused of something that you didn't do. Or having a reputation of something, or having marital problems and wanting to change the other person, and for us to realize that we're not the Holy Spirit and we're not going to be the ones that change them, but then looking at your own thing. So all of these situations that you face in life, they might seem sometimes like life-threatening as well, life-altering, or relationship-ending, or causing you to go and abuse substances because you have no other way out. Or like, again, this week, hearing about some people that have attempted to commit suicide and cut themselves, younger kids that are struggling with life, that think that this life will be better without them, and that other people will think that. Like, these are real things that people are facing today. And so where is our hope? Is this Jesus real? Is this babe that was born in a manger able to rescue us from these things and help us navigate through these things, like in the storm? I mean, here it is. I don't know if you've ever been in Lake Superior on a boat or in any other place at sea or in lake or water, and then all of a sudden the wind starts blowing and there's a storm coming, and it just doesn't feel very, very peaceful. And it starts rocking, and, you know, I don't know if you've ever been there, but like, when I watch movies, I've never been in those situations, but The Perfect Storm, have you guys watched The Perfect Storm ever, that movie, all right? I honestly, literally, and I'm sorry that I'm going to say it this way, but I'll probably pee my pants or something other than pee in my pants. I mean, something might happen. I mean, if the boat is going up and down like that and the waves, and the most scary thing for me, I'm going to share my deepest fear. My deepest fear is to fall out of a boat or a ship or whatever in the middle of an ocean. I cannot stand the thought of my two little legs and feet dangling in this vast abyss of water where there might be creatures that I have no idea exist coming up and just swallowing me or just tearing me apart. It's my fault for watching Jaws and all those things and 47 Meter Down and Megalodon or whatever that thing is called. But that is my biggest, like, fear. Not burned, no, falling in the middle of the ocean like that, right? So this is what these disciples were experiencing, and Jesus is sleeping. I mean, doesn't he feel the storm? Or did he, like, take sleeping pills and they knocked him out? And why is he sleeping, right? And then the disciples wake him up freaked out, and he tells them, "Oh, you of little faith, I'm in the boat with you." If you only knew who was here in the boat, you would not be afraid. And it's like, for some reason, that just doesn't make sense to me. But that's what God wants. That's what Jesus wants, that it would make sense and that you will be so comfortable with him on the boat that you don't care if the world is burning. Jesus is with you, and that's all you need. See, but that's the kind of faith that it is required to really experience the things that he has accomplished for us on the cross. And that is that's the scripture. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and his prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. There's so much that we could go into with these scriptures, even the names that Wonderful Counselor, you know, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. We could do a whole series of teaching on just those names. But that's not what I felt the focus for today would be. It's, you know, this child will embody everything that God wants to show us and accomplish. He will rule in a kingdom that is so different and so much more wholesome than we have ever known or experienced or dreamed of. The kingdom of peace, of joy, of love, rest, and freedom. It's what the world can never give us. I mean, at some point, we're going to have to realize that the world is empty, shallow, stupid, and wrong. Because everything that the world offers us without Jesus is broken. And it falls short. Now, through Jesus, we can enjoy a lot of the things that the world offers. But without Jesus, we can't. Because it is a fake counterfeit of what God has intended for us. So fame, fortune, and all those things is just, it's worthless. So his heart and his passion, his zeal to see it come through, is what is going to make it happen. Because he promised it by himself and for himself. So whatever you're facing today, or will face after leaving this church, can we say, I trust you, God. I trust your goodness and your faithfulness, that you're in control, that you will never leave us or forsake us, and that includes my marriage, my children, my job, my finances, my future, my friendships, etc. Can we say that? Can we begin or continue on if you're already on that path, living that way, declaring those things? Like for real, wonderful counsel, almighty God, eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. That is who he is. And it is only then when we are able to embrace his words and believe them for sure, then we will truly have a peace that surpasses all understanding. I have three more slides and that's it. Romans 16:20 just says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And the word that is used here is Irene, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, the same word, is the word Irene. It's a wholesome peace. Isaiah 9:7, when it says that he's the Prince of Peace, this is the word that it uses. Peace is completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. Completeness in number, safety, soundness in body, welfare, health, and prosperity, tranquility, contentment, with God especially in covenant relationship. It's something that just settles you down no matter what the situation is. You are at peace. You are content. You are fulfilled. You don't need anything else. You are not anxious. You're not stressed out. You're not frustrated. You're not in turmoil. Right, Angie? Yeah, it's an inside joke here. But anyway, you're not in turmoil. This is the peace that Jesus brings. Full contentment. I says, no matter what, he rules our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts, our actions, our worst decisions. I want to live this way every day. And that is what Isaiah is trying to tell us. That's what Jesus came to do. His birth is supposed to bring us this kind of peace. Hey, don't worry. Don't freak out. I'm all you need. All. You need love? I have it. You need joy? I have it. You need assurance? I have it. You need peace? I have it. You need acceptance? I have it. You need worth and value? I have it. You need affection? I have it. You need to be fulfilled in this way, this way, this way? I have it. I can give it to you. I've already provided it. I am here for you. I am everything and everything for you. And so if we can do that while watching a movie, then I think life will really do look different. I even turned that one off. No. Just look over here. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But really, because why? Like, I just want to say, moving forward, why? We got to move forward in a way that is really is going to actually impact this world. And that is going to come only through the way that people look at you and look at me. Because not a lot of people are, especially in our generation now, not a lot of people are actually going to come to church until they see that what you and I have is worth exploring in a family setting where it's okay to be broken, where it's okay to struggle, but it's not okay to stay there. And we all grow together. We all encourage each other. We all spur each other on to good works and deeds. We all teach each other the word of God as we practice it and live it together. That's the whole idea. It's not the shell of Christianity, but it's the heart of Jesus and what he has come to do. All of this is a shell. Because the church is you and me. So wherever we go, we're the church. Wherever we go, we're having church. Wherever we go, we're being the church. This happens to be a place where we gather to be the church. Right? So that is my encouragement to all of us. And again, I mean, it's really cool that the traditions of lighting, we don't do it at this service. Sorry, blame me. If you come here, you already know that you're not going to have some of that stuff, right? If you do want the candles, stay for the next service and they'll light them. And then you can feel like it's more of the tradition kind of thing. But what I'm saying is those are really neat things and little symbols that we have. But that's not the heart. Christianity lives in you. It's Jesus. It's the Spirit of the living God that you carry with you wherever you go. That is Christianity. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You. We just sang we're broken vessels. Where God has decided to pour. He didn't say I'm going to pour out my spirit on the building. He didn't say I'm going to pour out my spirit on the little symbols that we have. He said I'm going to go pour out my spirit on you, the believers, and you will be my witnesses. So as we think of Jesus and the hope that he brings and the peace that he brings, take it a step further and saying, is that peace available to me? And do I want that? And what is it going to take for me to live in that peace? Well, it's going to take faith. But not faith as in a system of beliefs. It's going to take faith as in a commitment and a conviction that Jesus is real. And that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. So I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, I'm going to have Brenda come. And she's going to share something with us quick. And then we'll be dismissed for the rest of the day. Well, the week, until we see you again next week. But let's pray together. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you for this morning and for your word. For the things that you reveal in your word to us. Every time I look at your word, you're telling me, I love you. You're telling me, I made you free. You're telling me, I want life and life in abundance for you and your family and your ministry. You're telling me, I've provided freedom and life and joy and peace and assurance. When we read these verses in Isaiah, that's what it says. That you have accomplished all these things so that we might no longer walk in darkness. That we might not be those little cars, bumping cars, God. So God, we just give you the rest of this day. And as we walk out of this place, there will be challenges and trials and things that we're going to face. Our own attitudes, the attitudes of those around us. The guy that cuts in front of us at the road. Just different things. We're going to need you to give us peace. And Jesus is peace, God. And so we just thank you for this time. And we give you our hearts that we might experience the fullness of life that you have for us. And we thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. All right, I'm just going to have Brenda here real quick come and tell us something.